The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Austin York, and welcome to the Afternoon All Local.
I went to bed last night. This thing, Milton, was a 2, maybe a 3. We get up this morning, and this thing's almost a Category 5. It's incredible. And it is moving, once again, right towards Florida. We're going to bring in our chief meteorologist, Dan Brunoff. He's with us right now. We're going to get the very latest on Milton. Danny, what do we got? Milton is the current location and strength.
All right, location about 720 miles off to the southwest of Tampa, Florida, and about 130 miles west-northwest of Progreso, Mexico. I think that's one of the highest populated areas there in the Yucatan, believe it or not. That's on the northern parts of the Yucatan. Around the bend is where you get Cozumel, Cancun, and then down the coast, of course, in Belize. So northern parts of the Yucatan have hurricane warnings right now. And again, the wind at 155 miles per hour. It's 1 mile per hour away from pretty much being a category 5 hurricane. And as y'all said, man, it's strengthened big time here through the early morning hours.
Where is it headed, though?
All right, so it's moving east-southeast right now. It's kind of wobbling off to that direction at about 9 miles per hour. But it is heading towards the west coast of Florida. Turn to the northeast is expected starting tomorrow morning as it brushes the northern shores of the Yucatan, and then starts to accelerate a little bit, 10, 15, 18 miles per hour, starts heading northeast, and heading towards right now, it has landfall around dinner time Wednesday, right around Tampa Bay area. Now, the degree of uncertainty runs from the Big Bend, from where it made landfall, where Helene made landfall, all the way down to Fort Myers, just north of Naples. So, again, the longer it stays on that east trajectory, the greater chance it has to go south of Tampa. But as you know, that's where Ian moved through 2 years ago and caused catastrophic damage.
So this is basically kind of the same track as Helene?
Well, it's coming from a different direction. It's actually coming from the west. Helene snuck in from the south, and it gained its forward momentum as it cruised closer and closer to the coast. Remember, Helene was a very large storm with a huge wind field and a big storm surge. Even though it made landfall into the panhandle up to the Big Bend area of Florida, goodness, there was 6-7 foot storm surges, even higher than that, closer to Tampa, St. Pete, and all the way down towards pretty much Fort Myers there, where the river comes in, there around Cape Coral. They had a 5-6 foot storm surge, and goodness, that was 200 miles away from the center. So the Hurricane Center's storm surge forecast right now, at or close to landfall, especially south of there, the storm surge forecast is actually peak surge anywhere between right now 8 to 12 feet, stretching from just north of Tampa, about 60 miles, all the way down close to the Charlotte Harbor there, close to Fort Myers. So again, got wind damage. It's moving pretty quickly, so the flooding threat won't be as great, but it's going to be wind and storm surge, power outages, tornado threat, with another dangerous hurricane almost making landfall in the same area as Ian did 2 years ago.
And this would not, I hope, it if it does become a Cat 5, it's not going to be a Cat 5 when it makes landfall, correct?
That's the $100,000 question. The forecast wind speed at landfall is 125, which still makes it a dangerous, very strong Category 3 hurricane, and you have to factor in the higher gust, the forward wind speed of the storm movement to the actual miles per hour of the sustained wind. But yeah, 125 is the forecast wind speed as it makes landfall late into Wednesday evening, somewhere near Tampa Bay. But it bears watching because this was forecast to have winds at this time, 24 to 48 hours ago, of about 90 miles per hour. It's at 150, almost 155 right now. So again, something to watch. Evacuations mandatory, stretch up and down the west coast of Florida. And this will not affect the Carolinas or eastern Tennessee, where Helene's been doing the catastrophic damage. But again, Floridians need to be aware of this storm. It's going to be a dangerous one.
Andy, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Our chief meteorologist, Dan Brunoff, the latest on the Hurricane Milton out in the Gulf of Mexico, getting stronger, headed to Florida. The hard work has paid off for some Texas teenagers who are taking home a lot of money from this year's Youth Livestock Auction, which was held on Friday. And the biggest money maker was the Grand Champion Steer.
Yeah, this thing took in some dope.
This was owned by 18-year-old Jade Stone, who lives way out in West Texas.
What a great name, Jade Stone.
lives on a ranch near the town of Stanton, and he is or was the owner of this steer named Haggard.
I got it from Merle Haggard, but, you know, Haggard fits him so well because, you know, he's sweet and, you know, he's got a lot of funny characteristics, and he's got a good personality. So, you know, that was a very special name to me from the start, and so that's how I just came up.
How old is he?
He's about 18 months. I bought him in April and, you know, started halter breaking and washing and taking care of him 24/7. It's solid repetition. We condition him 2 to 3 times a day and, you know, soap him every day. And, you know, you just got to take care of them, keep them healthy.
Did you expect this, a grand champion?
No, sir, I did not expect it, but, you know, it's a blessing from the Lord above, and, you know, that's just how I look at it. And, you know, I've prayed that, you know, I have a steer good enough to win majors, and I think that I finally got my blessing that I've been asking for and that I've prayed for.
What is his future going to be?
Probably wind up on someone's plate because he can't reproduce. He don't have his
doodads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, he can't reproduce.
Okay. All right. He's beautiful. He's just a gorgeous animal.
Thank you.
You gonna miss him?
I sure am. I love this animal dearly.
With the auction on Friday, which was shortly after I talked to Jade, Haggard brought in $180,000.
Jade's got to be loving it. Mary, he's praying to the good Lord. Hopefully you're tithing on that $180,000.
He gets a good chunk of that, too. He's going to use it to go to college. That's the thing. All of these kids, they say, well, I'm going to use the money to go to college.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So another one was Landry Lane of Azle. She had the grand champion lamb named Chewy. And then there's Lindsay Sessom from Splendora, Texas, down near Houston. She raised the grand champion Barrow, named Creature. Now, Barrow, in case you don't know, that's a neutered hog. I asked her what the judges look for in a hog.
In a neutered hog.
She said the most important thing is what Madeline Kahn talked about all the time in Paper Moon, bone structure.
You already got bone structure. Now, at your age, I didn't have no bone structure. It took me years to get bone structure. And don't think bone structure's not important.
He has nice bone structure. He's big boned. He's a big back in him. He's nicely square from all sides, so his back is square, his front square, and he has a nice chest view.
Good morning.
He's beautiful. Look, he's up. He's awake. His eyes are open.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's sitting up.
You have to look around. How old is he?
I think it's like 10 months, 200 and something days.
So he's not fully grown, or he is?
He is fully grown for market shows, but he can get much bigger if he wants to.
Oh, how big is he? How much does he weigh?
At the moment, he weighs about 274.
That's a big boy.
Yeah.
What was your reaction when you heard that you'd won, or that he'd won?
I was honestly just like over the moon, like super excited, and I was really excited to see all of my family and everybody that's helped me get this far's reaction, which was just the best thing ever.
Structure.
Bone structure. Nice chest
view. One animal we didn't mention was goats, and you learned all about them on Friday. Evans Livestock, they're big business, goats. Evans Livestock is in Burnett, Texas. And they entered several goats in this year's livestock show. They did quite well. You had a chance to speak with Julia Evans, the matriarch of the family business.
How did you get into raising goats? Was this just something that you wanted to do?
My husband and I have done this for 19 years.
Okay.
So right out of college, we started with a small herd of goats. And then we've gradually built it. We run 600 head now.
Oh, wow.
And
so you're the goat queen of this area.
I wouldn't say queen. We have a sizable operation.
Okay.
And it's all family. So his parents and us and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, we all work together at it. And
awesome.
Yeah.
Is this like your Super Bowl, or how exciting is something like this?
Any of the shows are very exciting, and to place and make the sale is even more exciting. I want to say we had around 6 or 7 of our kids we sold to, plus my own kids, make the sale here this year.
Okay, now talk about a sale. How much would a champion or a placing goat go for?
So it depends on what show it's at, but the champion here will get around 20,000, and then the reserve champion will get around 15,000.
Wow.
They could go more than that, but that's what the exhibitor is guaranteed.
Okay. So is the state fair usually where they fetch the highest price, or?
It just depends. There's other shows that pay around that. Like the state fair, Fort Worth is usually the highest.
Oh, really?
So, okay. And the kids keep all at Fort Worth. But they just differ from show to show.
Let me ask you this. Is there one goat that you're like, oh, this is the one I always remember. This one fetched the highest price. And this is my favorite.
My son's goat here 2 years ago was probably one of our favorites, and he was a division champion.
The division champion, do you have a name, and what did he sell for?
He's on the pictures out here.
Okay. He was so big.
He got to keep $7,500 from that. Right. I can't remember what he went for in the auction, which some of that money goes back to scholarships and stuff, but that's what he was able to keep.
Her husband was in, it's not just here that they show these goats. Her husband was in Georgia for a show. She was with her son at the state fair, and her daughter was showing some goats in Waco.
Yeah, it was all over the country. I can't believe $20,000 for, and
for a goat.
I didn't ask her, and I wanted to, but what do they do with them? I mean, is it the meat, the milk?
The coat, breeding, the milk?
I don't know.
Goat cheese.
Yeah, goat cheese, I don't know. But yeah, 20 G's.
All of the above.
It was a wild scene in Tarrant County today. We are now getting word that a person has died after a plane crash there. The Federal Aviation Administration and National Transportation Safety Board investigating this small plane crash in Eagle Mountain Lake. Went into the water around 12:40.
The incident appears to have happened in about 10 feet of water on the north end of the lake. Our folks, along with the others out there, investigating the debris field.
Chad Lawrence of the Tarrant Regional Water District says one person has died. The body remains in the wreckage, and there's been no other word on the identity of the pilot.
Supreme Court says no to a former Fort Worth cop. He's locked up for manslaughter.
Aaron Dean has reached the end of the line with appeals. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear his manslaughter case, meaning the former cop will have to serve his 11-year, 10-month sentence. Dean shot and killed a Tatiana Jefferson 5 years ago. He had been sent to investigate an open door and went to the backyard of Jefferson's aunt. Jefferson apparently mistook him for a burglar in the backyard because Dean never identified himself as a cop.
I saw a silhouette. I was looking right down the barrel of a gun. And when I saw the barrel of that gun pointed at me, and I fired a single shot.
The jury declined to convict Dean of murder, settling on a lesser charge of manslaughter. From the 24-hour news center, LP Phillips News, Radio 1080 KRLD.
Texas law that bans emergency abortions violates the state's new abortion law will actually stand for now. The U.S. Supreme Court has declined to hear an appeal of the Fifth Circuit ruling. Doctors say they don't know where the line is drawn in making decisions about women's health in emergencies. UNT Dallas law professor Brian Owsley says the high court may be waiting to hear a similar case out of Idaho.
They have a limit to how many cases they can rein back the Fifth Circuit in. In this case, they're probably waiting to see what happens in Idaho.
A group representing doctors had been hoping for clarity out of the Texas Supreme Court the last term, but the court ruled the Texas law is clear enough as written.
It's 5:05. Crews from Texas headed to Florida to help out as Hurricane Milton bears down. The governor says emergency management reaches out with a request. Texas is sending some of its emergency management workers to coordinate resources. Texas also sending some swift water rescue boats and crews and people that specialize in search and rescue. Texas also sent more teams to Tennessee to help out after Hurricane Helene.
Class started a couple hours late at a high school in Mesquite this morning because of a shooting nearby. Police Sergeant Curtis Phillip says a guy threatened workers at a fast food joint across from Poteet High School and then took off. Police found him with a gun in a neighborhood nearby. Phillip says officers exchanged gunfire with the guy before school would have started, but that still led off to a standoff.
There were kids later on in the area while the scene was still active, so we're grateful that nobody was injured. And I would also like to say we're grateful for our partnership with Mesquite ISD, working in coordination with them.
Mesquite ISD started class at Poteet later this morning, but no officers were injured in the shooting. They ended up arresting that suspect.
The Attorney General Ken Paxton officially requests citizenship data from the White House to investigate what he says are possible non-citizen voters in the letter. He says the need for federal cooperation to ensure the Texas integrity of their voter registration rolls His push coming as he wants information on 450,000 voters. Imagine flying from Texas to London in just 2 hours. That's the goal of a new supersonic jet that gets its first test flight next year. It's called the Venus Stargazer M4. This jet would have a rocket engine, could hit 3,600 miles an hour. That is Mach 6, six times the speed of sound. The makers say the jet will one day be able to fly at altitudes up to 170,000 feet.
You never know who you're going to see at the State Fair of Texas.
When you're in Dallas during October, you've got to hit up the State Fair, even if you're an international pop superstar. And there were several Usher sightings over the weekend at the State Fair, including him shooting hoops in the Midway. He also took selfies with some of Dallas's finest working at the fair. Usher played three shows over the weekend at the American Airlines Center. From the 24-hour news center, John Little, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com. Download the Odyssey app or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.